The following broadcast is brought to you by the Synthetic Turf Council, committed to community wellness and environmental responsibility through the use of synthetic turf. Now, on with the show.
You are listening to Manufacturing Revival Radio, spotlighting the innovation, the business savvy, and the entrepreneurial spirit of manufacturers from here at home and around the world. Celebrate the can-do spirit that is bringing manufacturing back. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
All right, welcome back to this special edition broadcast of Manufacturing Revival Radio. I'm your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Todd Youngblood. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Right back at you, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to this conversation. We're so fortunate to partner with the Synthetic Turf Council. You know, they're showcasing all these great industry leaders. As we count down to this big STC spring meeting in Las Vegas, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. And we are two lucky guys, Todd. I mean, how many people in the U.S. actually get to talk with folks that are extremely knowledgeable about turf grass science? Most folks haven't even heard of it.
I know. It's amazing the stuff we get to talk about and the things we learn. So let's get to it. Say hello to our next guests. We're joined by John Sorokin, who is the co-director of the Center for Athletic Field Safety and an associate professor in turf grass science at the University of Tennessee. We're also joined by Adam Tomes, who is a PhD candidate and research leader at the University of Tennessee. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, the pleasure is ours. Thanks for carving out some time. Well, we're both dealing with the end of days at this snowmageddon storm that's hitting the south. So we're going to wrap this thing up so we can go home to warmth and safety. John, before we get into our conversation, we're going to talk about your presentation in Las Vegas. But I would love to hear 10,000-foot view of the work of this Center for Athletic Field Safety and all the great stuff you're doing there at the University of Tennessee. Give us a briefing on that.
Well, sure. I've been on the faculty at the University of Tennessee for almost 12 years. Now, and since I've been here, a big focus of my research has been sports turf research and looking at making athletic fields safer. And a lot of the students that we teach want to become athletic field managers, where they look after football stadiums or university athletic facilities and things like that. And as a turf grass guy, a natural grass guy, I realized that, you know, sports turf also includes the synthetic turf. So a lot of what we've done is we reached out and we actually created a partnership with AstroTurf, and they're probably the largest cog in what we have as a Center for Athletic Field Safety at the University of Tennessee, where we can conduct research on both natural and artificial turf and try to look at what the pros and cons are for each and the limits are for each in terms of making the fields all safer for the children and the adults that play on them.
Well, you both are presenting at the STC conference in Vegas coming up here. Adam, give us a quick overview of the highlights of what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, sure. Some of the highlights that we're talking about are some of the major issues that, you know, face the synthetic turf industry, specifically looking at temperature issues and surface temperature on synthetic turf and ways that we can perhaps reduce this or ways that we can predict the temperature at the surface, knowing that athletes are on them all hours of the day and during all times of the year. So that's a major issue and one of the things that we're spending a lot of time at the Center for Athletic Field Safety looking at. We're also looking at surface hardness and comparing it to natural turf and the overall performance of synthetic turf as compared to natural turf and how that will go.
You know, guys, my exposure to synthetic turf is what I see on TV when I watch a sporting event or the cool playground down the street from my house. I suspect the average bloke on the street has no idea of the research and the science that goes behind turf grass science and of course, in synthetic turf. Talk about the industry itself. I mean, when you go look at the eyes of these people that you're going to be presenting to, I imagine they're more knowledgeable than the average person. What knowledge are you going to impart? What message do you want to deliver to this specific audience?
I think, and you kind of nailed it, it's, you know, there's a lot of science that goes into this. And what's historically been in the construction, the engineering properties of the fibers, and you've seen from the original kind of knit nylon carpets that were out there to these new longer fibers that are polyethylene or polypropylene fibers and with an infill, you know, making them play, perform, look more like natural grass and be safer. But until recently, until, you know, for instance, this center came around, there was no unbiased or independent research testing the limits or how these things actually did and hold up. And that's what we're trying to get the message across is, you know, we're providing a scientific basis for doing research on making synthetic turf better for the future.
Well, I'm reflecting back to my college days playing football in New England towards the end of the season on frozen natural turf. I still kind of remember how hard that was, hard as in doesn't bend. And Adam, you mentioned looking at temperature issues on synthetic turf. What happens when it gets really, really cold or really, really warm on synthetic turf versus natural grass?
Sure, that's a good question. One of the biggest issues is, you know, during the summer months, it gets extremely warm and elevated surface temperature. And of course, anytime there's an injury on the field, the first thing that the trainer always wants to do is keep the athlete laying out there until they can assess the situation and move them. And we know that temperatures get hot enough that they can burn the skin. And so our goal is to try to work on lowering that temperature and also improve it for the athlete's endurance.
How about when it gets cold?
During the cold months, what we've seen is in some cases, the surfaces get kind of hard because the moisture in them freeze. And so that's some of the other issues is timing of your grooming applications and maintenance to try to keep the rubber infill broken and loose to try to keep it soft and playable.
John, talk about what your research has shown you in terms of how this, the various types of synthetic turf impact player performance and base pad research. What are you finding there?
Yeah, we're just starting to delve into the base pad work. I think that's what you're going to start seeing more in the future is more what we call e-layers or base pads being installed. And some of our preliminary research is showing that it increases the consistency of the athlete-to-surface impacts. When you think of these new synthetic turfs and putting down a set depth of rubber infill and sand or sand, you know, it's really hard to get the exact same level. And you could be off by an eighth or a quarter of an inch in areas at least, or maybe a half inch. And that changes how the athlete impacts that surface below. So having these base pads, I think, increase the consistency of a player every time they take a stride or run on that field.
As an outside observer, it seems to me that the trajectory of safety of the synthetic turf versus natural turf is that synthetic turf's getting safer and safer every year. Have those lines crossed or will they ever cross?
Well, when it comes to the safety, I think that's a loaded question because what defines safe, you know, anytime a kid or an athlete is out there playing a sport, they're at an inherent risk, whether it's playing football in a contact sport or playing soccer. And what we're trying to do is minimize the exposure of athletes getting hurt. And I think a lot of it is, it doesn't matter if it's a natural turf field or an artificial turf field. It seems like when a player gets hurt, they blame the field. And what we're finding in some of our research is it's actually, you know, it's a combination. It's the way the athlete's running, the sport they're playing, and a lot of it's the footwear. And a lot of athletes wear too aggressive of footwear that gives them so much traction, which is compounded on artificial turf because it doesn't divot or give away. That can make something concerning. And yet that person tears an ACL because their foot didn't give. Well, they blame the field for being too much traction, or if it's a natural grass field, Bermuda grass, or they slip. You know, and at the same time, what about the shoe type they're wearing? What's on the sole of that shoe to give them, you know, performance, safety, and being able to perform as a high-level athlete or as just a, you know, everyday person playing sports?
Well, that you bring up an interesting point. Your research has probably led to a lot of interesting discoveries on the impacts of ancillary effects. I mean, your work is obviously has an impact, for instance, as you just said, on equipment. What other areas is your research touching that are leading to new discoveries that to evolve the safety and make it simpler to maintain and upkeep and all that? What other interesting discoveries have you made through your research?
Well, one of the biggest things that we've spent a lot of time with is specifically looking at the athlete-to-surface interactions through the footwear, knowing that was one of the easiest or most important areas to look at first. Specifically, we designed a device called the Tennessee Athletic Field Tester, and it's a kind of a robotic leg that has sensors in it and can actually tell the impact of the athlete's foot with various shoes that you can change out over various surfaces that's portable. We were able to calibrate that to the human body so that it does a similar force as what a human would. And we can actually kind of compare that to what an athlete's body would be going through on the different surfaces. We've also done some work with goal anchors, trying to work on how to improve soccer goals so that they anchor through synthetic turf. And one, don't void the warranty, but still anchor to prevent injuries and deaths through the goals falling over by not being anchored.
John, are the folks that ought to be aware of and responding to the research that you're doing there, are they hearing the message? Are they aware of it? I mean, I'm thinking of college and high school athletic directors and managers of public parks, et cetera. Is the word getting out there and are they listening?
I think so. And it's funny you said that, because I got an email this week from a talk, and Adam and I actually went and presented at the National Soccer Coaches Association Conference in Philadelphia in January. And this is the first time they had anyone ever come talk about actually field maintenance and safety as it relates to the game of soccer. And we're actually getting to the coaches. And as Adam said, you know, almost two kids a year die a year in the United States from soccer goals falling on them. And with more and more synthetic turf fields going in and these portable goals going around, it doesn't take much for one of these aluminum goals to fall over and hit a kid. So proper anchoring. And so we're getting that message out and it's getting there, but we still need to hit more people. It still needs to get more and more people need to become aware of the safeties and the work that needs to be done for making sport safer for children, particularly.
Gosh, Todd, it's amazing. You would sit there and say, all right, until I realized that John and Adam existed, I didn't realize that there was turf grass science studies at universities and students willing to learn these things. But then you hear stories like that, you realize how important that work is.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it improves the fun of the game, both for the players and the fans, I think.
Absolutely. Well, we've had other conversations about the impacts of this on concussions. And so, I mean, it's obviously such important work. Well, John and Adam, it breaks my heart because I have so many more things I want to dive into with you, but we're just out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, learn about the work that you're doing at the Center for Athletic Field Safety, and get their hands on some of this research?
Sure. You can follow us on Twitter at @UT_CAFS, CAFS, and
at Sorochan, Sorochan. So we both have Twitter feeds, and you know, we have a website, Facebook, and being part of the university in a land grant system, we have extension and, you know, we're here for anyone. We're here for the public anywhere to any questions they have or anything like that. We want to help solve problems and prevent injuries and make fields safer for everybody.
Outstanding. John Sorochan, the co-director of the Center for Athletic Field Safety and an associate professor of turfgrass science, and Adam Tomes, PhD candidate and research leader, both with the University of Tennessee. Gentlemen, a real pleasure to spend some time with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of today's guests, John Sorochan and Adam Tomes, my co-host Todd Youngblood, I'm Todd Schnick. Along with the Synthetic Turf Council, this has been a special edition broadcast of Manufacturing Revival Radio. We'll see you next time.